This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword. That's audiblepodcast.com/sword.
Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Thank you, everybody.
Yay!
With your hosts, Veronica Belmont and Tom Merritt.
Yes, hello. Okay, so we are actually going to record like a regular episode and stuff.
So we're going to turn around and look the other way, pretend you're not here.
Yeah, that's typically how we do things. So when everyone gets settled and quiet, we can start the show.
Dear Lord.
I'm having a beer now because I'm so filled with rage over losing the trivia contest. I take things very seriously. Very, very seriously.
Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed over
me.
The years. I don't know if you noticed. Okay, so hey everyone, welcome to the Sword and Laser, episode number 104. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I'm Tom Merritt, and we are live at Nerdtacular 2012. Thank you all for hanging out. I know it's been a long day with a lot of stuff going on, and we appreciate you coming in here and sitting down and listening to us record our podcast. We got some stuff to give away of our own, So spread the word. We got some Sword and Laser t-shirts, and we're going to ask you some questions. We're going to get you guys involved in the book discussion as well.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, we're a science fiction and fantasy book club, podcast, and video show. You can check out our video show at youtube.com/geekandsundry every other Friday. But right now, we are going to talk about some of the news in a section that we call the Quick Burns. Oh, but wait. We do have our What Are We Drinking segment as well.
Oh, right.
Which
yeah.
is what we do for the audio show. And today we're
not allowed
drinking...
to do this on the video show.
We're not. YouTube says we can't. We're doing a Wasatch. Wasatch?
Wasatch.
Wasatch?
Wasatch.
Wasatch. Wasatch. First Amendment lager. It's delicious.
It
Cheers.
Is quite tasty. Cheers. Yeah.
All right. This is how
I think
do
this
it
is
Utah,
Paul and
right?
Storm's beer okay. for their green room, but sure. we broke into it anyway.
So now it's time for the Quick Burns, which is our news of the week. And first up, we have some award winners for this coming past month or so.
Yeah, so these are the the David Gemmell Legend Award for Best Novel was awarded last week to Patrick Rothfuss for The Wise Man's Fear.
Yeah.
Very well deserved. Other winners at the award ceremony were Helen Lowe for Heir of the Night for the Morningstar Award for Best Debut, and Raymond Swanlin for the Ravenheart Award for Best Cover Art for Blood of an Aryan.
Mm-hmm. And do we have any Song of Ice and Fire fans in the audience?
Probably not.
Today?
No. Well, yeah, look at that. Huh.
Yeah, a few, one or two. So there's a brand new essay anthology coming out called Beyond the Wall, which has essays having to do with the world of the Song in Ice and Fire, including an essay written by Adam from the Wort Zone. And,
Whitehead.
Adam Whitehead, which
of Colchester, Essex, United Kingdom.
Yes, and so I'm excited to read this one. I would love to do some research into all the different authors that contributed to the book and check out the essays.
It's, you know, not since Tolkien can I remember so many people writing ancillary content about an entire universe, an entire world.
You know, we are actually planning on doing a Sword and Laser anthology. Are there any writers out there that will be interested in contributing short stories or anything like that? Everyone's like, no, we got one.
They're being pointed out by their friends.
Yeah,
they're like,
I'm a secret.
Oh, stop that.
Don't shut up. Yeah, we're excited about that because we there's a lot of people in our audience that write or who are interested in writing or getting into writing more, and I think it'd be a good opportunity for people to test out their writing skills and be part of a published work, ourselves included.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll have more details on that when we finally get around to getting organized and having more details on that. Our next story is the politics in Game of Thrones attack ads from Mother Jones. Has anybody seen these yet? They're parodies of political attack ads, but there's one about, you know, where's the birth certificate for Joffrey Baratheon? Robb Stark's a big celebrity, but can he rule when he can't protect his own castle? And we'll play you this one. Hopefully this all works out. This is the attack ad against the Khaleesi and her claim on the throne of Westeros. Give it a little room for buffer here. And please don't play me a pre-roll, YouTube.
Please don't be loud either. Okay, here we go. Nope, no sound.
Dragons.
Oh, here we go. From the beginning.
Daenerys Targaryen. She says she is the mother of dragons. But would you trust her with your kids? Her father was a maniac. She palled around with Dothraki terrorists. She asked the city of Karth for a government bailout. Then she lost three baby dragons.
That's the sound of dragons popping up, by the way.
Unlocked wooden box. An unlocked wooden box. This Khaleesi wants to be queen of the Seven Kingdoms. But can she be trusted? Daenerys Targaryen. Wrong for dragons. Wrong for the realm.
So, are you people going to vote for Khaleesi after hearing that? I mean, seriously. They're like, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's awesome.
She is dragons.
Have you seen her kick ass? She's amazing.
So we all have TV series that have been canceled. You know, like Firefly, for example. Stargate Universe. Pushing Daisies. Caprica,
Mixed feelings. Could have gotten better. We'll never know now.
But Io9 has a story about some books to replace your favorite television series once they do become canceled. And there's some pretty good picks on here. For Firefly, for example, they say you may want to check out, consider, I can never say the Phlebas, Ian and Banks.
I think it, Phlebas?
Phlebas.
Ian Banks.
Phlebas. Phlebas. Yeah. Phlebas.
Yeah,
Phlebas.
Consider Phlebas. Consider learning how to pronounce this and then ordering it at your bookstore.
Yeah, but they say Joss Whedon's beloved show is probably never coming back in any form other than comics and the occasional unofficial novel, the book substitute. Consider Phlebas by Ian M. Banks. We recommend this book, the first novel in the Culture series, a lot, but it really fits here. Like Firefly, Consider Phlebas is about someone who's on the losing side of a huge space war, in this case, the war between the super-advanced culture and the Edirian Empire. You know, this is the hardest part of my job, is pronouncing the crap that they name stuff in sci-fi fantasy books. It's really hard. And then you don't have any basis for
Well, no, the worst comparison. Part is that there really isn't a right way. It's not like there's a dictionary you can go look it up in a
right.
lot of cases. And then the fans are like outraged at your pronunciation.
And then they decide on a certain pronunciation.
Including
and
myself.
And then the author is like, nope.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not how I planned it at all.
For Caprica... if you even like were not sad that it got canceled but wished it had been better, maybe check out Virtual Girl by Amy Thompson. It's a 1993 novel, follows an artificial intelligence that used to live entirely in a virtual reality setting with only limited input from the outside world that gets ported to an actual human body and has to learn to cope with all the input she suddenly receives. So it's kind of that storyline, but written out into a novel and probably much better.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
And our final bit of news today is all about the new Reading Rainbow iPad app.
Yay!
Which I'm very excited about. Who here was a big Reading Rainbow fan back in the day?
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book,
nice.
A Reading Rainbow.
You have to get really into that stuff.
Okay. Did you watch it as a kid?
Me? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched
big
it with
time.
My younger brother when he was a
week.
Kid.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite shows. What? Wait, I think you just called yourself old.
I'm really old.
Okay. but he's got a new iPad app. LeVar Burton is, of course, very involved. And there's also a website companion where parents can go on and learn more about what the kids are reading and that kind of stuff. I kind of consider us like the sci-fi fantasy version of Reading Rainbow. Like, maybe we're not
I
for
wish.
Kids.
I hope we can be as
like,
good as
that. I would love
that.
To do something for kids specifically, like a separate Sword and Laser, but for kids kind of thing. But I can't...
So maybe... Needle and laser pointer?
I think we'll work on the name later down the line.
Something
Sword
safer,
Laser
though.
Kids.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get Nick to do all the sound, like, intros and stuff.
Well, hurry. He's almost an adult.
I know.
Let's take a look at what's on the calendar coming out here soon, in case you're looking for some new things to read. We're recording this on June 23rd. It'll probably go up June 24th or so. You may be listening to it next week. So by June 26th, you'll be able to buy Sky Dragons, Dragon Riders of Pern by Anne and Todd McCaffrey, the final installment in the Pern saga. With all of Pern imperiled by the after effects of the plague, spoiler alert, the only hope of the future lies in the past. That leaves most of the spoilers out.
Yeah,
of the
we had Todd McCaffrey on the show recently, actually.
Yeah, it was great. It was nice to meet him.
When we were at BayCon. Was anyone at BayCon? It's kind of far from here.
That would be an incredible intersection if you were at BayCon and at
also,
North
I like how it sounds like bacon.
Yeah, I know. You keep saying that.
That's
they need
I'm
to play that part up more.
I know.
They don't use that enough in their marketing.
Because we all have those great, like, the badges that you stick to your guest badge. There should be, like, a bacon badge.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe there was.
Ooh, Nerdtacular should do that next
time. Yeah. So you know when you go to other conferences, you get the sticky things under your badge, and then you can, like, make them really long, like a rainbow tail? We should do that. I'm just saying.
What else is coming out June 26th, Veronica?
Caliban's War by James S.A. Corey. On Ganymede, breadbasket of the outer planets, a Martian marine watches as her platoon is slaughtered by a monstrous super soldier. On Earth, a high-level politician struggles to prevent interplanetary war from reigniting. And on Venus, an alien proto-molecule has overrun the planet, wreaking massive, mysterious changes and threatening to spread out into the solar system.
Boy, there's a lot coming out on June 26th. Hammer and the Blade by Paul S. Kemp. I heard a woo. Yeah,
woo!
Nice. John Anelio. He's a fan. Also, Edge by Koji Suzuki. It's about the quantum falling apart of the entire world. And then June 28th, Lord of Slaughter, the Claw Trilogy 3 by M.D. Lachlan.
Yep, and then on July 3rd, we have the year's best science fiction, the 29th annual collection by Gardner Dozoi.
Edited by Gardner Dozoi.
And The Apocalypse Codex, a Laundry Files novel by Charles Stross. And Iron Gray Sea, I don't know how to say that word.
Destroyer Men
by Tyler Anderson. There's too many.
Yeah.
This is boring.
Thief Taker by D.B. Jackson, Neverwinter Nights, R.A. Salvatore. It goes on and on.
If you want
and
more,
on.
We have a calendar section on the website where you can read of all the upcoming releases. But we should take a moment to thank our sponsor, which is Audible. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of downloadable digital audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. Yes, I just did that from memory.
Yeah, you did. I noticed you weren't reading that.
And if you go to audiblepodcast.com/sword, you can get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. We were wondering if any of you guys had any recommendations of audiobooks that you've been listening to that you would recommend to our audience.
Yeah, just shout it out.
We have that's too disorderly. One in the back. The Jackie Faber books? Jackie Faber. Okay, and we got one right here.
Anything by Andrew Main. His minions are everywhere. But it's a good point. It's a good suggestion.
I think you call them Mainions.
Mainions.
Andrew Mainions.
Awesome.
No. And we got one back there behind our Andrew Mainion. Yes. Yes, all the Patrick Rothfuss books are fantastic.
That's a really good one because he just won the award. So if you're like, hey, who is this guy? Name of the Wind, Wise Man's Fear. They are. That's how I got introduced to Patrick Rothfuss was reading the audiobook. Listening to the audiobook for Name of the Wind.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really well done. Really good one.
So now it's time for Barrier Sword, which is our feedback from the audience. And our first subject is to unlem. So does anyone here know what to lem a book means? To lem a book, L-E-M.
It's named after Stanislaw Lem, a fantastic Polish science fiction author, an award-winning Polish science fiction author, who I picked one of the worst examples of his writing to make Veronica read, and she couldn't finish it. So now we call not finishing a book, lemming the book.
It's lemming, to lem, the verb, yes, after memoirs found in a bathtub. I'm sorry.
I still love that
book. I'm sorry. I know, I feel bad about that. But Ken writes, to unlem a book, is there any books that you guys went back to and actually read after you had decided that you were lemming it? And his pick was The Once and Future King, which is a fantastic book that we actually read for the podcast, right?
Yeah, and then he started to get a lot of good Arthurian alternatives to help him rid the Lem book from his mind. The Winter King, Bernard Cornwell. The High Kings is another good one recommended.
Are there any books that you guys
Geoffrey
have
Jeffrey of Monmouth? Seriously, someone goes like, just read Geoffrey of Monmouth. Go to the source material. Or Chrétien de Troyes.
That's like Lemming Lord of the Rings and someone saying, just go read the Silmarillion.
Yeah.
A little light reading for you. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Just go read a book on linguistics.
Just go write your own language.
Yeah.
Just go create one.
It'll be much
Start
better.
Start your own world building, whatever. Okay. Next
and then, well, the other thing we have from the forums to talk about before we involve you folks, but we kind of want your opinion as well, is our book discussion episodes on the video right now are every 2 weeks. And we want to give everyone a month to read the book, so we don't know if it makes a difference if we kick off the book on the show, like at the beginning and end of the month, or if it's okay to have the kickoff and wrap-ups every 2 weeks, and then folks just kind of watch it whenever. Well, we've
got. You want to ask us their opinion? I don't think they want. They don't. Does anyone listen to the show here? Okay. All right.
Does anyone read along with the books?
And do you like? Would you rather it started at the book club kickoff start right at the beginning of the month, and then the show also be at the end of the month, so that you have the full? So right now, it kind of like the kickoff is like the first in the first week ish, and then the wrap up episode of the video show is like the week before the end of the month. Yeah, so basically you have like 3 weeks, yeah. And not enough time? Okay, so she's a bad example because she
finished it in the
first
week. The fast readers don't
care
because they're all ahead anyway. That's a good point. The problem is that people read at different rates.
Yeah, and I read very slowly these days.
Oh, I read much slower than you.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You finish all the books.
No, I just start everything early.
Oh.
I cheat.
Well, the next book for this upcoming month I think we can share in this episode is going to be Leviathan Wakes by James S.A. Corey, which is actually the book that comes before Caliban's War, which is the book that we mentioned earlier. So if you start reading that, it won our poll on the website with 48% of the vote out of 4 books. So
yeah,
you guys
with
really
all
want
precincts
to read
reporting.
That. So it is a laser pick this time around.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched
pretty
the show,
much alternating.
We alternate sword and laser. I'm the sword, Tom is the laser. I usually just pick the books I want to read. I don't let them vote on it.
James S.A. Corey is a joint pseudonym. So Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank combined to write on this. Daniel Abraham writes fantasy stuff a lot of the time, but this is a science fiction kind of a space opera. Some people call it film noir, but it's split into two sort of storylines. You have kind of a detective storyline that takes place in the asteroid belt, and then you have a more traditional spaceship military storyline that takes place out towards Jupiter, and there's an unidentified explosion that looks like it was caused by a terrorist group, but it's not, and then it's the start of an interplanetary war between Earth, Mars, and the asteroids, and everyone's caught in the middle and trying to figure out what this conspiracy theory is, and there may be an alien involved. I won't tell you because that's a spoiler, but at the beginning of the book, you find out that there may be an alien involved in all of this. So it's a really great sci-fi pick that I think folks are really going to have a good time enjoying because it's a great story. It's one of those examples where it's not just the world that's created that you enjoy and the story is kind of good enough to get you along. It's an excellent story as well.
Great. Do you want to read this email?
Sure.
All right, I'll read the email.
Well, I had to get to it.
Go ahead.
I thought we were going to ask for if anyone had read Tigana.
Did anyone read Tigana?
By Guy Gabriel Kay. That was our wrap-up book. Okay.
No, they didn't, no.
Do you want to talk about... Do you want to go right to the email?
Yeah.
Dan says, I just posted this in the What Else Are You Reading forum and wanted to make sure you saw it since I know you like supporting cool Kickstarter projects. This one is a techno-epic spiritual fiction graphic novel created by Wired Magazine co-founder Kevin Kelly with several talented writers and artists, and they've already completed the free-to-read book one and are looking for funding for book two. The Silver Cord is the name of it. It's a free graphic novel, but if you support them on Kickstarter, you'll have to pay a little bit, but you'll make sure it happens. So that's a cool thing to support. I like showing off those Kickstarter projects.
There's so many good ones. It's hard to... I mean, everyone who contributed to this one, of course, for Nerdtacular is awesome. But I feel like I've given away a lot of money to Kickstarter in the past like 6 months because there's so many cool projects. It's hard not to, and especially when it's people like Brian Ibbett and Len Peralta or like Bill Corbett and Scott Johnson and all these great people that are in the community that are doing amazing stuff. It's hard not to throw money at them. Take my money. So we thought we'd do a little competition to see in the audience who is a sword and who is a laser today. So if you can't figure out from the name, sword is fantasy, laser is sci-fi. I can't see what book that is. Oh, nice. So we were wondering if anyone was willing to kind of, you know, take control of their genre and be the representative for either sword and laser. Is there anyone here who thinks of themselves as like the ultimate sci-fi fan?
We want to have a debate, fan. Essentially, between the fantasy and the science fiction genres. Iceworm? You want to take the laser side?
Do you want to take the laser? Do we have a fantasy representative? Yeah, all right.
Link.
All right. So, okay. So that's our fantasy representative, and did you want to be the sci-fi representative? Because we're going to have, like, you have to plead your case. All right, come on up.
Yeah, come on up towards the front. This is going to be debate style. Modified Oxford rules.
They can stand maybe here. We'll just give you 60 seconds to really state the case why. Nice. Why fantasy is better than science fiction.
Now, how are we going to determine who goes first?
Because it's sword. It's
sword fight.
Sword fight!
Yeah, nice.
My sword shoots lasers, buddy!
Oh, his sword shoots lasers.
Okay, hold on. Before we get in a fight here.
Don't get too heated.
Who thinks that sword should go first? Just make noise. Who thinks laser should go first?
Oh. All right, sounds like laser
All
is
right.
up.
Laser, you have 60 seconds to state the case why science fiction is the genre of choice.
You can say whatever you want, whatever your heart says.
I'll just start with two words, Star Trek.
Oh,
no, you got 60 seconds, so you'll need more than two words.
Two more words, Star Wars, but not the new stuff, just the old stuff.
You only get to talk once.
Warp drive, phasers, lightsabers, light guns, Boba Fett. Darth Vader. Oh, wow. William freaking Shatner.
That is not holding your case.
All right. Patrick Stewart.
I love me a bald gentleman. I do. It's true. Hey, Brian.
And
space travel.
Hey, Brian.
Time
Abed,
travel.
What's up?
And again, Patrick Stewart.
Time's up. All right, thank you.
I like it. That's good. Good job.
Good job. Good. Well done. Well played.
All right, now let's hear why sword is the best.
First off, right off the bat, four words. Lord of the Rings!
Lord of the mother effing rings!
One of those words is an article.
We also have Patrick Stewart. Mm. We also have Gandalf the freaking white. look at me. Do I need to say more? Greatest fantasy video game genre franchise ever, The Legend of Zelda?
Yeah.
Great All Link right. costume, by the way. I will
Thank
grant you.
You
that.
Yes, he is wearing a Link costume.
Not counting the new stuff, Final Fantasy, the other greatest franchise.
Where's the cutoff point for you, 7 or 10?
6 was the last great
six.
One.
6, okay.
Kefka,
all right.
greatest
Hardcore.
Video game villain ever next
Old
to Ganon.
School. All right.
Okay, we also have, not the movie, Dungeons and Dragons! World of Warcraft!
Yeah.
Oh, playing to the fan base there.
You know,
Skyrim, Assassin's Creed is technically fantasy.
Yeah, I'll give it to you. Maybe not.
I will acknowledge early Star Wars, but without fantasy, there would be no science fiction.
Oh,
and that's it. Time's
that's
up. Good
words.
Ending argument, though.
All right, so all in favor of laser? Clap. All in favor of sword? Thank you. Nicely done. You guys want, we get, you got, you already have a t-shirt. Laser already has a t-shirt, but let's get you a t-shirt. Epic rap battles, yes!
Fantasy rap battle.
Epic rap battles of history. We'll, I can't really call it history soon, because it doesn't work then.
What size?
Yeah, what size?
For your t-shirt. We're giving you a t-shirt. Did I tell you we're giving you a tissue? Okay, perfect.
Congrats.
Well done, well done.
I have to say.
What's your name, by the way?
What's your name, Link?
Chris.
Chris, from where?
Well done, Chris. Thank you so much.
Oh, right from here in Salt Lake. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming. You did a great job. You know, I was going to do a trivia question, but then I did it anyway before the trivia contest with the George R. R. Martin question in Avengers. Yeah.
Well, we could do the house motto.
What's the house motto?
We asked people to come up with their own house motto. If, you know, the best house motto as judged by us wins a t-shirt.
House motto.
You know, like in the Song of Ice and Fire.
Okay, does anyone have a house motto they want to share?
Or a sigil.
A sigil? What's your sigil and why?
Yeah, we got... Okay. Ryan's
we
running that
way. We crossed the stream, sorry. All right, I didn't see you. Okay. Can you stand? I don't have a microphone.
No, Brian's
run, Nibbit, run!
We'll get to you.
Okay,
hang on.
We'll start on this side first.
Neither by chance nor by fate.
Ooh,
well
neither
done.
By chance
like
nor
it.
By fate.
It was all on purpose.
I've got one way the heck over here.
You didn't say
anyone else
be
in the middle
involved?
As he's coming over that would like to participate.
Oh, you can't raise your hand now. He just left that
right
area.
Right there in the back.
My
right.
Sigil is there was supposed to be no running involved.
It's
I was
not
told
running
there would
man.
Be no running.
Latin is sic gorgiamus alus sagittarius nunc, which is we would gladly devour those who would seek to oppress us.
Ooh. That's pretty good.
I eat babies.
I like it. I eat babies. Who was in the original I Eat Babies Guild? Anybody?
Wow, a couple.
Yeah!
Scott.
Yeah! So little known fact, but the guild for which Randy and Scott and I founded, before it was AIE, it was known as I Eat Babies. And Blizzard made us change it. I wonder why. But yeah, that's the backstory in that.
Okay, and you've got, don't forget the guy you passed over there too.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll get to you next.
Always bet on black.
That's good advice. Yeah. That's good advice. All right, we got this one right here.
I wager my destiny on new tricks. I believe the future can be changed. I believe I can alter its outcome.
Nice. Mm. Woo!
Nice.
All right.
Oh, we got another. Okay, go ahead.
A swift punch to the neck will solve any problem.
That's right up there with bet on black. Just words to live by. Oh, we're getting lots of them now.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the house for both of us.
Okay.
F them if they can't take a joke.
And do you have a house name to go with that? That's good.
I kill to quiet the voices in my head.
That is from the Andrew Mannion. Yeah.
Right behind
I'm sure
you
he would be proud.
Over there.
Captain Hammer.
We use this for our kids and for our Cub Scouts. Don't do stupid stuff.
Stupid stuff. We got Codex up here in the front.
Yes, good Codex outfit.
Ladies and gentlemen, Felicia Day.
Safety third.
Safety third. Wait, but I want to know what she thinks is first and second. Sex and cookies. I just made that
up.
Yeah. Wow, we've got more. I think we need two microphone
tadpoles
up here. I feel bad because he was right next to this one over here before.
More silent than the night, more deadly than the dawn.
More silent than the night, more deadly than the dawn.
Deadly than the dog. I was like, why? It's not a nice dog.
Why is the dawn so deadly?
What, so deadly.
What's wrong with it?
He's silent but deadly. Silent but deadly.
Dills.
Dills.
Whoever smelled it dealt it.
That goes along with the Silent Dawn.
The silent but deadly dog. The silent dog did it.
This is one that's heard in our house quite a bit. Like it or lump it.
Yeah.
Like it or lump it.
Another good
I'm
going to
say like it or lemon. Yeah. Like it or lemon.
Those
that's
are your
my
choices.
House.
You we have more? One guy in the tadpole over here who's like, his arm's about to fall off.
Run, Ibbit, run!
I love that we have the tadpole physically represented. That is awesome. That's the Frog Pants Network chat room for anybody in the Sword and Laser audio podcast who doesn't know.
So ours is mise en place, which is a French culinary term for everything in its place.
Isn't it also a cinema term?
My wife is a chef, so
nice.
That's why we go by that one.
Mise en scene, mise en place.
It's a Radiohead term, too.
Yeah, cool.
Very cool. Oh, we got one more.
One more right here.
Right here. We really did tell him that there would be no running. Or crying.
There's no crying in mic jockeying, Ibbit.
In my house, for my kids, it's eat it or wear it.
Eat it or wear it.
Yeah, you know, I would be careful giving them that option. Do they take it?
Oh, they have. I've got pictures to prove
it. Yeah, that's what I would figure.
Makes for some good spaghetti.
I want to see that up on a banner as they're marching into war.
Eat it or wear it.
We'll take one more.
By the power of Grayskull.
Tease ahead to Film Sack coming soon.
By the power of Grayskull.
Spoiler.
Nice.
All right, we got another one right here.
I did say one more, but we'll let it.
Okay, sorry. Okay, that's it. The last one. No more hands.
Respect my authority.
Okay. There's the smart way, then there's the awesome way.
Nice.
All right.
Nice, I like that.
Wow, too many to choose from.
I know. I don't know if we have enough. Okay.
We definitely don't have enough T-shirts, but we need to pick the best one out of that group.
My personal favorite was Codex.
Well,
Safety Third. I think that was my personal favorite. Did you have it? She's like, I'm biased, but me too.
Joel, did you have a personal favorite to help me out? Yeah, out of the ones you heard. Any stick with you? Or Scott?
Eat it or wear it. All right, you guys go get T-shirts.
Don't do stupid stuff.
Don't do stupid stuff.
Should we put it to a crowd vote?
No,
on
I
all
just
three?
Told them to we'll get T-shirts. Them I'm not going to take it back now. All right. Okay, all three.
Fine.
That would be awful. All right, if you guys want to come up, we have a few sizes.
Yeah.
We'll do those.
Will the authors of the winning house mottos please come forward?
But everyone was great.
Yeah, those were all fantastic.
Yeah, nice job.
Give them all a big hand.
I don't know if I want to do that much.
Yeah. All right. Here,
I'm going to guess your. I think that's for her. That's my tiny. Here, you guys fight amongst yourselves.
So we'll just open it up to a general Q&A for the last few minutes that we got here. If anybody's got questions about science fiction and fantasy, about Sword and Laser podcast, about anything in particular,
what George raise R. your Martin's hand. Like.
Brian Ibbit is there, and we'll take. We won't be able to get to all of the questions. We'll take as many as we can.
What authors? What up?
Go ahead and say your name too.
I think the mic's not working.
Hello.
Good. Thank you.
My name is Zach.
Hey. What's up? What authors do we have lined up? I will tell you shortly.
As we both
the
go
question
running to
is,
the schedule.
What authors do you have lined up?
The question is, how fast can Tom and Veronica open the Google Doc where it lists all of the authors that they have lined up?
Well, I know we've got Michael Stackpole coming up in the future.
On the audio podcast, that's right.
On the audio podcast.
And then on the video podcast, we have Rob Reed, is author of Year Zero, is our next guest on the video show. That's coming July 6th. Daniel Suarez, he's the author of Freedom TM and Demon, will be on the show July 20th.
Great books, yeah.
We tentatively have John Scalzi and Neil Gaiman on the docket. We got to lock down some dates for them. And Adam Christopher, author of Empire State, is coming August 17th.
Yeah. Yay. We're excited about those.
Hi, I'm Matt. Atlanta. You might have answered this question earlier and I missed it, but what's a not super expanded universe or expansive universe kind of a book that I can get into, because I've never really read a lot of science fiction or fantasy besides, you know, Lord of the Rings, stuff like that. So could you suggest a kind of simple, maybe a single book or a series that I could start out with to try to get more into it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm respecting your authority.
Oh. First of all, that mic needs to be a little bit louder because we can barely hear the questions from the audience. But also, let's see. So my usual pick for starter sci-fi is Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card.
Kissing up to the Utah crowd with that one, too. That's
Utah
good
connection. Yeah, I think it's a phenomenal book. It's technically a young adult novel, but I think it's definitely more grown up than that, and
absolutely,
it can be read by people of all ages. So that's probably my top pick. You guys might boo me for this, but I thought The Hunger Games was great, the novels, the trilogy. I don't know if maybe you'd be into that, but they're quick, fast reads, and they're really, like, they move along pretty good.
Leviathan Wakes by James S.A. Corey, our next pick, is actually a really good introduction. Now, it is going to become a series of three books, so it doesn't quite exactly suit your request for a non-expanded universe, but at least you're getting in at the ground floor. And it's a really good story where it's got some hard sci-fi elements, but you're not going to get lost. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, if you haven't read it. And you like comic versions. It's another
Yeah, pretty much anything by Terry Pratchett, too, I think is really great.
Yeah.
And also, what was the one? So even though it's really thick, it's really big, The Wise Man's Fear, I'm sorry, The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss.
For fantasy, yeah.
For fantasy is I think it's totally readable. It's a big world, but I think it's written in more of a modern language than some of the other books that are out there, so it's easily digestible, I think, for people just getting into genre fiction. Hey, maybe are we
going
over
here? Where you're from?
Hi, Noah Smith from Belgium. Undercover Vag fan. Have you ever thought of doing? Yes. Have you ever thought of doing a Vaginal Fantasy Sword and Laser crossover, or have Tom on Vaginal Fantasy? Because that'd be kind of awesome.
Absolutely.
The idea has been floated.
It is kind of a girls' club right now, so I think if any boy was invited onto the show, it would be Tom.
That's very nice. The idea has been threatened.
The idea has been threatened.
By them.
I mean, some of the sword and laser picks we've done in the past have definitely had like a sexy time element to some of them. So I don't think it's out of the question going forward. Yeah. We're letting Brian do the picks because he's the one holding the microphone.
Hi, I'm Christine. I'm from here in Utah.
Hi.
Hi, Christine.
And you guys are the reason I came to this.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'm a sword.
That's okay. I like you anyway.
No, I love... My sci-fi is like video and stuff, and my fantasies books. But my question is, I tend to pick books that have certain elements. Like, usually I have to have a little bit of romance or a little bit of this. What do you guys find in your books that you pick? What are the things that really, like, that you find is, that you always find in the books you love?
I think I really like flawed heroes. Like, I like heroes that are kind of... They make bad choices, Logan Nine Fingers from Joe Abercrombie's novels is one of my favorite characters.
The Kingkiller Chronicles, right?
No,
that's Rothfuss.
That's Rothfuss.
First Blood Trilogy.
The First Blood Trilogy. I just love characters like that, and it's actually one of the reasons why I like the Hound from A Song of Ice and Fire so much. He's one of my favorite characters in any series. I just like characters like that who are ambiguous and who have issues. And I think because we all have issues, and I think, you know, characters that are very one-sided and kind of flat don't do it for me. Probably that's true of most people.
I like clever characters that, you know, are unpredictable but smart. You know, it's like Scott Lynch's Locke Lamora in The Lies of Locke Lamora is a great example of that in fantasy.
Gentleman Bastard series, book one. Next.
I'm Zach. I'm from Salt Lake.
Hey.
Who do you think does better character development, Tad Williams or George R.R. Martin?
Ooh. You are literally asking me about two of my all-time favorite authors.
That's a tough call.
Wow.
That's harder for me to answer. I'll give you time to think because I haven't read Tad Williams. I definitely need to read Tad Williams, and it's on my list, and there's just too many good things to read. We got to pick a Tad Williams book for a Sword and Laser pick one of these days just to make me get into it.
Well, I think part of the problem is that with A Song of Ice and Fire, we've had so long to get to know these characters that the development has happened over time in, 20 years. But for Tad Williams, you know, he has so many great standalone novels, and yeah, the sci-fi stuff like the Otherland series is definitely long and goes on for five books, and it's great. But I guess I'd have to say George R. R. Martin for this one. But I love you, Tad Williams.
I love you.
Okay, next.
Hey, I'm Jace from Texas. Where do you guys fall on the larger fantasy, multi-author titles like Dragonlance and Forgotten Realms? Have you dipped your toes in, or is it too much, or what's the deal there?
You know, I haven't really. I've heard great things about Dragonlance, and I would love to get into them, but I just, yeah, it's one thing I haven't dug my heels into really yet, yeah.
Yeah, for me, the only toes in that kind of water is the Star Wars series, the Star Trek series, like, you know, those sorts of things. And I've read a few, but I always feel like I'm missing some other book that is new characters that I haven't met yet. And so when the series go on that long, I start to say, well, I can get to that later. Let me go jump to something else. That, you know, is brand new or maybe won't last as long. Maybe it'll only be two or three books.
The closest thing I got to that was the Next Generation paperbacks, like back in the day. I used to read all the Star Trek Next Generation fiction, and it was great. Okay.
Hi, I'm Cole from Southern California.
Hi.
And I have a question about your most recent Sword and Laser video episode. I'm new to the Song of Ice and Fire series. I watched the HBO series with my girlfriend, and then we just started into the book. I'm listening, and she's actually reading because I'm lazy.
make you lazy.
And I just like listening to books. But my question is, with my experience of the universe, can I watch your interview without too much spoilers?
Yes. Yeah. I think the
one spoiler he warns about.
Yeah.
The one time he starts to spoil, he says, now I'm going to get a little spoilery here, but...
But I don't think it's anything too dramatic.
It certainly isn't like a big revelation. It's minor spoilers at worst, and you'll see him coming.
And I did want to know, how awesome is he?
Oh, he's so awesome.
He is really, really nice. I mean, we put him through a lot on that Skype call. I mean, what you see is just the smallest amount of time of how much he had to sit there and wait for us to light and mic and get everything set up. And he was very patient, very charming and gentlemanly.
Yeah,
and
what
really
I
fun
loved
to talk
is
to.
That at first he was a little guarded, but then when he figured out that we're such turbo nerds, he really like warmed up to it. He's like, oh, these are my people. And like it kicked off from there in a big way. Yeah, he was great.
Finally figuring out how to do this microphone thing. You get in the aisle, have them come out to you.
Ah. Hey, I'm Doug from Montana.
Hey, Doug.
I am in desperate need of a new cyberpunk book. I just finished rereading Neuromancer and Snow Crash. Mm-hmm. What would be your suggestions?
Anything by William Gibson, I would say.
Bruce Sterling.
Yeah.
And for something more modern, Daniel Suarez, Demon, if you haven't checked it out. It's not exactly cyberpunk per se because it's new. It's what cyberpunk has turned into. It's about computers, and if you haven't heard of the book, it's about the idea that a famous programmer dies and leaves computer programming running afterwards that starts to do things, and there's a mystery to track down, and you're not sure if they're doing things for good or for evil.
Yeah, and
Daniel Suarez.
Yeah. And I think Charles Stross is kind of cyberpunk-y. No, yeah,
absolutely. Rule 34 was one of our picks, and he's got a new book coming out shortly.
And he's a former programmer, and he used to write for PC World in the UK, so he's like definitely, he's a pretty big geek himself, yeah. You kind of have to be to write like that.
That's funny. So Lev Grossman used to write for Wired. Does that make him cyber fantasy?
Maybe.
I don't think it does.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Captain Dooley. I'm from Idaho.
Hi. I keep saying hi the same way. It's all like, hey.
I think I'm like a lot of people here and that listen to your podcast. We listen to your podcast fairly regularly, but we have a hard time kind of finding the book to get started, to get rolling in with reading with you guys, because you guys have a lot of series, which I love to read series, but I hate to just like, oh, they're reading the third book in a series of 15.
No, we never do that. No,
the
really,
only time we've
only
done
ever...
that is Dance with Dragons, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, and that wasn't even
was that the official pick? Remember,
I don't think that was the, we always, if we do a series, we start with the first pick.
She's very insistent on that.
Yeah, I would never do that because that would drive me crazy, but yeah. But
okay,
sorry,
so I guess my question is how would somebody who has just been listening kind of get rolling into being more involved with like the forums and getting into the reading and all that? Mm-hmm. Kind of give us a quick beginner's guide to the Sword and Laser podcast?
Sure. So everyone, if you listen to any of the shows, either the video or the audio show, we highly recommend that you join the Goodreads forums. And there's Goodreads. And there's an introductory thread where we ask people to kind of go in and say hello and what kind of books you read or listen to or whatever. And then there's also an FAQ on that site that Nick, one of our listeners, put together, which is amazing. And then just jump into the discussions. We have a separate discussion thread, group for each book that we read. So if you want to just read the discussion happening about that book, you can click there and follow along. We're also very good about spoilers. If there's any spoilers, we make use of the spoiler tags within Goodreads, so you have to actually click on it to see the spoiler. So that definitely helps. We start a new book on the first of every month, and we wrap it up by the end of the month. And we try not to give too much lead time in saying what the book is, because then people start discussing it too soon, and then people feel like they're already behind by the time.
It's a delicate balance.
It's very fickle. But that's the best way to do it. Just jump in on Goodreads, listen to the podcast, and you'll pick up pretty quickly.
There's a what else are you reading section, which is a good place to just jump in, because it doesn't matter what you're reading, you can just talk about it, and it's a great place to find new recommendations as well. And there's a sci-fi fantasy news section, TV, movie, and games section, and you can jump in there, sort of get to know people and wade in before you feel like you have to jump into one of the major book discussions.
Yeah, and all the podcasts and all the videos are also linked from the forums in a pretty orderly way, so if you feel like you've missed something, you can go in there and see them all too. Hi.
Tim from Indiana.
Hi.
Hi, Tim.
So my question for Veronica is, what is your favorite laser book? And for Tom, what is your favorite fantasy book?
Oh, that's hard. Oh, man.
My favorite fantasy book would probably be a tie between The Chronicles of Narnia for pre-18-year-old me and Lord of the Rings, which I don't care if it's a common pick. It's just the signature work of fantasy sci-fi literature of this century and probably several.
Oh, geez. This is really tough for me. You have it easy. I
Memoirs
feel like more...
Found in a Bathtub.
Yeah, no,
by
no, not
Stanislav.
That. Gosh. Let's see. I'm trying to.
And she has. She's not hedging because she hasn't read sci-fi. She's read plenty of sci-fi.
Yeah.
And likes it.
I'm just having a hard time thinking of like one
it's
that
not
is my favorite.
There isn't that Tolkien. In sci-fi, there's several Tolkiens. There's Asimov. There's Arthur Clarke. There's H.G. Wells.
Yeah.
There's Heinlein. Yeah, I mean...
Frank Herbert. I guess maybe something like... Gosh.
I'd probably have... Well, my favorite sci-fi is...
I really
Phil
love... Oh, man. Sorry, this is hard. And I'm
Say
taking
a few.
It, I'm taking
then.
It way more seriously than I probably need to. I love Snow Crash. William Gibson was one of my original like writers that I adored. So he's
your
one of my
C.S. Lewis.
I guess.
I mean, when I'm picking
I feel like
C.S. I'm,
like 2 days from now, I'm going to be like, raw! Like, think of one that I really love the best. I guess I err more on this like cyberpunky kind of side of things.
Do you have any books on your shelf that you still keep from a sci-fi author? That's how I try to think about it in my head. Like, what are the ones I actually held on to?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look at my Goodreads picks.
We'll go ahead on to the
go
next
question.
Go
answer another question.
I'm told we have time for one more question.
Okay, I'm just wondering, now that you've had George R.R. Martin on, is there anything that you can think of that would beat that?
Yes, the resurrected ghost of J.R.R. Tolkien.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, maybe a hologram, kind of a Coachella sort of thing would work. No, seriously, you're right. I mean, yes, Neil Gaiman is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
If we can make that happen, which we're hoping we can. There's a lot of great folks out there. You're right though, man. It was pretty epic getting a chance to talk to him.
It was probably the biggest interview of my career, I would say. I definitely considered it like the biggest get for me. And I've done a lot like with technology and you know, different genres and stuff like that, but that was just I almost passed out.
It's the closest I've come to vomiting.
Yeah.
Before an interview.
Yeah, I would have to say that.
I would say.
Well.
And I hadn't even eaten the onion soup yet.
You know, so. I guess for sci-fi, I'm going to have to say go with Ender's Game. Because it is like, even
Good
though
choice.
I talked about it earlier, But it really was one of like the first, so my dad got me into sci-fi and fantasy when I was a little kid, and that was one of the first books I got my hands on, that and Tail Chaser Song by Tad Williams. And so, yeah, those were two of my early favorites, and they're still some of my favorite authors and books to this day. So, yeah, it's an easy answer, but it's probably true.
That was a great question, by the way.
Yeah,
thanks
it really
for
stumps
that.
Me. I'm going to have to think about that some more, even.
Well, that's it. We got to make way for FilmSec here at Nerdtacular. But thank you all so much for spending time chatting with us.
We've got some bookmarks. If you want to get in touch with us, the email address is feedback@swordandlaser. Our website is swordandlaser.com. And all of our discussions happen over on Goodreads. And we will talk to you guys later. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.